Directed, Corey Flintoff, NPR News, Kiev.
This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the Lemelson Foundation, supporting inventors and invention to improve lives in the U.S. and developing countries, on the web at lemelson.org. This is Morning Edition on 88.9 WCVE, and Brian Ford joins us from RBC Wealth Management for his Monday analysis of business and financial news. Good morning, Brian.
Hi, Wayne. Hope you're doing all right there.
Yeah, a few technical difficulties earlier this morning, but we're slowly but surely getting back to normal, I think.
Good.
Well, last week, too remarkable on the Wall Street markets and elsewhere, but there was a good jobs report at the end of the week.
Yeah, that is true. It was kind of a flat start to December after October and November being so good. We had a few days of sort of down markets, three or four trading days in a row. Didn't amount to a whole lot, down about 1 to 1.5%. And then, as you say, towards the end of the week, got some good jobs report, which we'll talk about soon. And that kind of popped things up on Friday. But not a big move either way last week. One trend that continues to be true is that commodity prices, such as gold and silver, continue to be very weak, both down about 30% or more for the year to date. That may be more of a sign of renewed interest in stocks, but it also could be, you know, continuing sign of lack of concern about inflation. There was a news item worth mentioning from last week, Wayne, that the third quarter economic output of the U.S., the GDP, was up much better than expected. It was up an annualized 3.6%, to be precise, for the year. That makes it the strongest quarter since the first quarter of 2012, and that's good. However, one of the reasons why is the output came because of companies building up their inventories of goods. They were investing money to make goods that weren't selling so well, which means that they were stockpiling inventories. And, of course, that means at some point that these businesses have to reduce prices to move their inventory. So, you know, it's sort of a good news, bad news scenario there. One last thing, Wayne, about the intro here is I think that many investors are focused on their year-end planning ideas with a few weeks left here in 2013. In addition to traditional offsetting of gains and losses in stock transactions, which is a little bit more difficult this year because the market's up so much, this is a good time to think about charitable inclinations and what you might be doing to nonprofit institutions. And giving appreciated stock certainly is a good idea. The other thing to think about is doing an overall financial overview here at the end of the year as we get prepared for 2014.
Okay, we have about 3 minutes left. Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about that November jobs report, one of the best monthly jobs reports in a long time, right?
It is true. It was a very good one. Over 200,000 new jobs created, and the unemployment rate dropped to just over 7%. Finally, good news meant good news for the stock market. You know, for the past year, analysts have said that good news in the job market meant bad news for investors because it meant that it was likely the Federal Reserve was going to raise interest rates quicker. Well, Wayne, even wage growth was up last month more than expected. You probably well know that stagnant wages have been a real challenge for workers lately. And there was other data last week that combined to make this jobs report look even better. Auto sales have been very strong. Manufacturing activity has been better than expected. Even consumer sentiment is better. So does this mean the Fed has enough cover to stop its big bond buying stimulus and begin to slow down or taper those purchases in December or maybe January? Well, maybe. Clearly, economic analysts now put the odds as increasingly likely that the Fed will change its policy fairly soon. However, it's very important to note that tapering does not mean tightening. And let me explain. If the Fed slows down its bond buying because the economy is doing better, that means that longer-term rates, such as the ones that cover home loans and car loans and business loans, they'll start to go up. However, it does not mean the Federal Reserve is going to proactively raise short-term interest rates. And that affects real people's checking accounts, savings accounts, or CDs. Most analysts still think that that action of raising short-term interest rates is at least 12 to 24 months away still. Mm-hmm. But for now, Wayne, let's call it what it was, a good job report, and hopefully a sign of better economic prospects for 2014.
Okay. We have almost a minute and a half. Well, Sears is spinning off Lands End. Why is that?
Well, this was a news item from last week, I think, that is interesting to note. Sears is spinning off Lands End. A few months ago, you and I talked about this as a possibility for Sears, which has continued to struggle with declining sales and rising losses. Get this, Wayne. Sears has had 27 straight quarters of sales declines. Ouch. Spinoffs are a technique by companies to try to maximize the value of a unit that they own and also let it hopefully prosper as a stock on its own. Some well-known examples of spinoffs locally include Capital One, which came from Signet Bank, CarMax, which came from Circuit City, Kraft Foods came from Altria, Philip Morris USA, and the merger of Land's End and Sears over 10 years ago was supposed to herald this new era of online, catalog, and retail shopping, but the cultures didn't mesh there very well. Sears is kind of caught in the middle of this retailing world, not too luxurious, but also not inexpensive enough. Mm-hmm. It may be tempting to say that Land's End will be free to fly without being shackled by Sears, you know, but Land's End gets 20% of its business from the retail Sears stores, and that hadn't yet been figured out fully. So what's next for Sears and its CEO, Eddie Lampert? Well, times are tough. They're still dealing with longstanding problems at Kmart, which they own, and they're now contemplating spinning off the Sears Auto Centers. The takeaway here, Wayne, is that spinoffs are an option for companies to sell assets, stem losses, and allow the spinoff unit to hopefully thrive on its own.
Okay, Brian, I was going to ask you about some big moves that Capital One has been making, but I'm going to have to ask you to put that off for a week. We'll talk about that another time because our time is gone for today.
Understood, Wayne. Okay. Have a good day.
Thank you. Brian Ford's report is not a research recommendation for any particular company and does not provide legal or tax advice. It's 840.